significance. Mm. That's what we want. In other words, success isn't what I do, it's what others do as a result of what I do or have done.
Welcome to the Learn It All podcast with your hosts, Learnit CEO, Damon Lemby, and SVP of Product, Darren Bridget. Our mission is to explore how continuous growth shapes the path to success. Our guests are high achievers who've learned there's always something new to discover. They'll share their stories, strategies, and insights with you. So whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, an aspiring athlete, or simply someone who believes in the lifelong pursuit of knowledge, this podcast is for you. Join us now for the latest episode as we continue the Learn It All's journey through a world that never stops teaching.
Hello and welcome to the Learn It All podcast. We are Damon Lemby and Darren Bridget. Damon, CEO of Learn It. I'm the VP in charge of our people skills. And we are joined today by Dennis Dowdell. We're very excited to have Dennis. Thank you for being here, Dennis.
Great to be here. What an honor. Just a joy to be with you guys.
Yeah, I hope you still say that by the end of the podcast. Let's introduce you a little bit to the people. So Dennis Dowdell's journey began 44 years ago when he was a school bus driver seeking more from life. Since then, he has been a speaker on stages in 52 countries, 7,000 stages to audiences as big as 25 to 30,000 people. He has been a coach and a mentor. He's currently speaking, and he's got a great book out called Maximize You, Stand on the Shoulders of Giants. Today, we're going to get into Dennis's thoughts about personal growth, the importance of emphasizing clarity in your life, and how important it is having the right people and helping people in your life can be. Those are just a few of the things that we're going to talk about. Yeah, great to have you here, Dennis.
Well, it's an honor. And I kind of did a little bit of research, kind of looking through. I didn't catch your background there, Darren, but I looked up Damon and just was looking through your site and stuff just to see a little bit, listen to half one of your podcasts just to kind of get an idea of the flow. But what a great honor to be with you guys. And I love what you're doing. And I love what you said, Damon, where change is the only path to true growth. And it's true. It's just true. And I love that.
Yeah.
That's well, Dennis, I love, not to get detracted right away, but I love the fact that you got a 1.98 grade point average in college, because I feel like you and I have, my wife's going to kill me for saying this, we have something very in common.
See, I studied people more than books.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. This has worked for you. Well, this class is about learning, and I think we can validate that both of you are top learners. We're going to get into learning a lot of things about you, but just to start closer to the beginning, driving a bus, Dennis. How was that? What can you tell us about driving a bus? Turns out you actually really enjoyed driving a bus.
I did. And really the way it worked was when I graduated from college, I didn't want to be one of these people who went from job to job to job, because I saw how that worked. And I thought, before I really dive into things, I'm just going to get some temporary work and then really look into what I could do that I would love to do that I could stay at for the rest of my life. And the two things that I really wanted, one, I wanted to be able to make a difference for people. That's just been in my head for 55 some odd years, right? Since I was in high school. And the other thing I wanted to do is I wanted to travel. Uh-huh. And at the time I was working with some college kids. And so I thought, well, if I'm working with college kids, driving a bus would be great, because that way I would be off during the middle of the day. And, you know, when they come to me, they're in my territory. But if I could go out to the schools, I'm in their territory. And then I get to see the real person. You know what I'm saying? That real environment. And so that just worked out real well for me. And it turned out that I loved it, because I love working with the kids. I mean, I spent time with them. I talked with them. I learned the meanings of their names and things like that. And it just made a real difference.
You talk about how, you know, being a student of people, like that's just been there for you from the beginning, even driving a bus, huh?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, because people are fascinating. We're all, when I was growing up, this is probably really off track, but when I was growing up, my mom, I used to drive my mom nuts. One time I said, Mom, can we go pick up Georgie? And she said, yeah, sure. And I said, Mom, can you unlock the back door? And I said, well, where's Georgie? And I said, Mom, he's there. She says, what? She unlocks the back door. Georgie pops in the car. Georgie is a 2.5-foot midget. See, but I didn't tell her. See? Because,
what?
But to me, she was no big deal. That was just Georgie.
And yeah.
We picked up a guy to go to the Sea Scout meeting, and the guy jumps in the back of the car, and she turns around to say hello to this guy. I just failed to tell her that he was a mongoloid who had a glass eye.
Oh, you know? Wow. Yeah.
Because I never thought anything of it. You know,
yeah.
My dad taught me that everybody was equal. Everybody had value, no matter if they were a superstar or not. And so I got that ingrained into my head. And so that's why people have always fascinated me, because everybody has something, you know, to contribute, and everybody has potential to contribute. And I love that part. And that's part of this idea of trying to make an impact for people, to help them realize that they really too can make an impact.
Yeah.
Dennis, I like, and one thing I like to say a lot is that you can learn something from everyone in whatever situation you're in. I think that if you get curious and you just come in with open mind, you can really learn something from everyone, because everybody out there is more of an expert at something than you are.
Right. I said, Jim taught me many years ago, he says, you can learn something from anybody if you ask the right questions. Go down to the guy on Skid Row, say, hey, how'd you get here? Like, I mean, I might learn something that could save my day one time.
Yeah. Jim, you're talking about Jim Rome. So yeah, let's hear a little bit of your story. How did you go from driving the bus all those years ago onto these stages of 25, 30,000 people?
Well, I was coming up on my 30th birthday, and like I told you, I was just going to wait until I, you know, found something. And here I'm coming up my 30th birthday, and I better get busy. I'm going to find a career. And so I spent 7 months looking, and actually turned down a couple of jobs that would have paid me more than I was looking for, but I turned them down because it would have been a job. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want a job. I wanted a career. Mm-hmm. And so I stumbled across this nutrition company, Herbalife International. The company was only 4 months old, a little hole in the wall joint up in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And I went up for what I thought was a one-on-one interview. And he threw me in this meeting with about 70 people that was big enough for 40. And I thought, man, what am I doing here? You know, yeah. Over an hour and 15 minutes to get there. And I figured I better sit here than sit in traffic in Los Angeles, right? And so they talked about the product. That made sense. And then they started drawing squares and circles on the board. And I thought, oh, gads. I said, this is some kind of sales. I hate sales. Don't like sales. Don't want sales. Not doing sales. See you later, right? Mm-hmm. But it was so crowded, I couldn't get out. And fortunately, I couldn't get out. Because at the end of that meeting, this ninth grade educated kid, and I was blown away with this guy. He closed the meeting, the founder of the company. And he's the guy who, you know, recruited me up there. And I'm listening to this guy, and I said, dang, this guy's got passion. He's got direction. He's got a vision. He knows what he wants. And from what I can tell, it appears like he knows how he's going to get there. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of guy I want to be around, you know? And one of the things he said, and I told you what I wanted. And this is how he closed his meeting. He closed, one of the closing sentences was the two things I wanted. He said, gang, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out and make a difference. Customer by customer, city by city, state by state. We're going around the world. And I said, whoa, whoa, make a difference around the world. Okay.
Yeah.
That's up again. I said, but how does this work?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You just hit my hot buttons. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that was it. And he said, Denny, he said, listen, he said, you don't have to sell anything. I said, what do you mean? I said, you got products. He said, Denny, he said, don't you work with college kids? And I said, yeah. He says, well, what do you do with them? He said, well, I help them deal with problems. He said, what kind of problems? I said, relationship problems, school problems, family problems, any kind of problem. He says, do they have weight problems? I said, Mark, they're in college. I said, never heard of the freshman 15, freshman 30s. And he said, yeah. He said, well, he said, do they have financial problems? I said, Mark, I said, what are you getting at? I said, they're in college.
Yeah.
And he said, well, then he says, now you have two more problems to solve. Guy, that was the first penny drop that changed my life. Because all of a sudden, it just clicked. I don't know why it didn't click before that. But all of a sudden, it just hit. I said, that's it. All I have to do is help people solve problems they have up to that point in time not been able to solve. Mm-hmm. If they don't like my product, they keep their problem. I keep my product. We're both happy. Mm-hmm. And so it just opened up the door for me. And see, that was the genius of Mark Hughes. He had the ability to simplify everything to its basic essence. And so he became that first life-changing mentor for me that really set a foundation for how I was going to approach everything.
Well, just so that I get this clear, you were actually already serving as kind of a mentor coach for college kids.
Right.
And then he became your mentor.
Right.
Coach moving forwards.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it was, I mean, I had mentors through books, through different tapes, things that I listened to, that kind of stuff. But he was the first person actually to take me under his wing, say, let me show you exactly what you need to do and how to do it. And how you need to think, and then who you need to become in the process. He was the one who introduced me to Jim Rohn.
Yeah.
And then, so I met him a few times until 1986. And then 1986, Jim Rohn joined the company. And then I spent 29 years with the guy. And I mean, brilliant man.
Yeah. Well, not everybody who goes down this path has done quite as well as you. So maybe at the risk of injuring your humility, but yeah, what's your secret? How did you thrive in this environment? What do you think was the secret there?
Well, when I taught these college kids, a lot of them there were in this church group, and they were, but I was in an area of town where we had the Crips on one side of the street, on that side, and the other, it was like the boundary between the Crips and the Bloods, and I lived on the corner, right? So these were some of the guys that we, that we worked with. And so when I understood how this system worked, I said, well, really, all I've got to do is help these people solve problems and then teach them how they can solve problems, which gives them value, which gives them significance. And so that was this process. And so that's really what it was. All I did was do everything I could to duplicate what I did with them so that they could do it with other people. And so that increased the magnitude and the significance of the reach. I have well over 250,000 people on my team, but I only deal with that a half a dozen.
Yeah.
And what I did is I invested my life into them and then said, okay, you need to invest in these. And I would always work with a lot of people, but they were the key. That was my process. And then I would just go out and teach what I did with those half a dozen that made the difference.
That's an amazing connection to take that lesson and bring it into sales. And I think it's actually a pretty great call out that when people are in sales, there's so much pressure to deliver. You've got your quotas and you get very focused on your problem, which is selling and making your quota. But you're saying the answer is really you need to focus completely on just solving problems, helping people solve their problems. That's the key.
Darren, I tell you, if people heard what you just said right there, that is so key. In fact, they have all kinds of promotion. This is a promotion business. I mean, they're promoting everything. They got vacations. They got this. They got all the stuff. Promotions don't do anything for me. They just don't. My thinking is, wait a second. So you think I'm going to do a little bit extra so that I get this prize, right? I said, why not just do extra anyway? My thinking is, why not just do the best that I can every month, and then I don't have to worry about it. And so that was really it. I just simply did the best I could every day.
Dennis, is that teachable? Or do you think that's just something that you're born with? That is like the amazing mentality. Instead of looking like trying to like, I need a promotion. What's my career growth? Was this instead of you're what I hear you saying is you just come into it. I'm just gonna do the best I can every day. Is there a way to help people evolve into that type of mentality?
Yeah, it's a great question, Damon, because and ultimately the only reason I can do that, and the only reason I think people would be able to do that, is if they're crystal clear on their purpose. Our purpose is foundational. Who am I? What am I here for? Where am I going? Three big questions worldwide, every country, every culture, right? Everybody wants to know the answer to those three questions. But if you can get your purpose down and understand what that is, then you take that purpose and you feed it into all the different areas of your life. You feed it into your financial life, your family life, your personal life, your professional life, your social life, your spiritual life, all of it. Mm-hmm. And so once you have that purpose, then that's the drive is the purpose. And so I'm real big on being cause-oriented. That's one of the things I loved about this company when I got started. It was a cause-oriented company, and it just so happened you made a lot of cash. Now, most companies are cash oriented and try to bring in a cause to motivate you, you see. But I started with that. See, I got it reversed. I want the cause first. The cash isn't automatic. The results aren't automatic.
So Dennis, my question is, if I'm somebody who's sitting there saying, okay, I'm listening to Dennis speak, I'm a little confused at figuring out what my purpose is, without going into, you know, I'm sure there's many steps, but what is like the first step somebody could take to help them figure out what they, what their purpose is or should be?
I think there's four questions. The first one is, who do you want to be? What is it that, what kind of reputation you have? What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of image do you want to have? In other words, it's almost like creating a brand for yourself, like you create a brand for a company. So, you know, what's going to be my brand? Who do I want to be? And then once I determine who I want to be, then I can say, okay, then what do I want to do? See, because once I understand who I want to be, then I said, okay, what do I need to do to be that kind of person? See, a lot of people get it backwards. What do you want to do? What do you want to have? No, that's secondary. Mm-hmm. Who do I want to be? That's my purpose, my cause, right? And then what do I have to do in order to be that? And then once I do what I need to do, then I'll have what I want to have. And then once I have what I want to have, then the fourth question is, who do you want to help? Say, what are you going to, when once you have all those things, what are you going to do with them? So what? So the real question then comes, who do you want to help? How are you going to use all that you are, all that you've done, and all that you have to make a difference for other people, which is why the fundamental principle for all things is the fact that it's not about you.
Yeah.
Everything that I have, everything that I know, it's not for me. Listen, I can do those things. It's not from, it's, it, it, what it does is it feeds my purpose. It allows me to make a contribution. And everybody would love to contribute if they thought they could. And so that's that process that I walk people through. I think that's what we need to know, but we need to have the right order.
Dennis, when we were talking, chatting before the show started, you mentioned this idea that it, kind of in a nutshell, it's not about you.
Right.
And that's such a powerful driving. If you almost had to hold on to just one thing, that helps inform all the other 45 principles that you have in your book, for example.
Yeah.
But that is a little bit almost ironic because it looks from the outside like that can't be true because you're on stage with 25,000 people staring at you, but you're telling us it's not about you. I understand that actually weirdly from an actor point of view. My background before this was that. But can you explain to folks like how that makes sense that those things aren't opposed? It seems like everybody's looking at you, but you're saying what you have to realize is it's not about you.
Right. Well, yeah, because basically, in other words, why am I on the stage?
Yeah.
Right. What am I doing up there? I'm only up there because I have some information or a perspective of working with information that can make a difference for them. See, listen, if you get on a stage and you're not thinking about the audience, guess who you're thinking about?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about me, man, how do I look? How do I sound? Am I saying the right words the right way? And is it going to come across well? Are they going to like me? Are they not going to like me? You know, you've got all this stuff, you see? And so that's where people get off kilter and the direction is there. And it applies in so many different areas. In other words, the process that we go through, most people, they're in a survival mode. Think about it. You know, they live month to month, paycheck to paycheck. Now, they want more. They have dreams, but they're not there. And so that's where most of the people that I encountered, most of the people on my team, where I encountered, and listen, I had some, you know, senior executives and CEOs and attorneys and doctors. I mean, I had all kinds, but the majority of them are everyday people who are even in a survival mode. In other words, when they're on that, and when you're in the survival mode, guess what you're thinking about all the time?
Yeah, yourself.
Me.
Yeah.
My bills, my pains, my agony, my embarrassment. It's all me thought. So what I tell people, I says, you need to go from, in order to go from survival mode, you need to move into the servant mode.
Yeah.
You need to become a servant. And there's the old saying, if you want to be the leader of all, you got to be the servant of all. But the reality is, that's magic. See, that's where you get loyalty from your customers and such. Because when you become a servant, and by the way, most of my people, they say, well, I don't want to be a servant. I want to have a servant. You know, I'd say, well,
it's like Darren.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, it's when a servant for me, and this is my definition, so this is what makes it real for me. As a servant is somebody who simply gets excited about making other people successful in what they do and what they want to become and have. And if I can help them become successful in what they want and who they want to become, we both win. Mm-hmm. So the idea is take everything that I have and pour it into everything that they want. In other words, it's not, hey, because a lot of these people are coaches or let's be all these things. Hey, let me tell you what I can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wrong thinking. It's not what I can do for you. It's what can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what I'm saying? But it's radically different. What can I do for you? Is it that I have or I know and I've experienced that's going to help you in your journey? And so that's the whole thing. That's the whole not about you thought process. So, and Zig Ziglar, he's the one who said, help enough people get what they want and you get everything that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just telling you, it's true. You can't help all these people become successful and not become successful yourself. I defy anybody to do that. You just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point is, I think many people, they have a very worldly concept of success. They think that success is position, possession, and power, authority, all the stuff, right? That's not true. And I tell people all the time, if success is your goal, you got the wrong goal.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose. And how do we know? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
I'm just saying, think about how many rich, famous, powerful people commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the position, they have the possession, they have the power, they have the money, they have the fame, fortune, all the stuff. They commit suicide. Why? See, because success isn't what it's all cracked up to be. How much is enough? I heard one guy say, just a little bit more.
Yeah, right.
But so Dennis, the real goal.
Here's the question. What's the real goal?
Significance.
Mm.
That's what we want. In other words, success isn't what I do. It's what others do as a result of what I do or have done.
Here's a question for you around this. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you stop comparing yourself to others? Do you have any advice around that?
I love that. Have you listened to my messages or something here? You're just hitting all the
Literally, somebody asked me that the other day. It was an individual contributor on a sales team, was relatively new to the sales team. Mm-hmm. And they said that their frustration is they're constantly comparing themselves to other people on their team. And they feel like it's been hurting their morale for one, but also their productivity.
Well, there's no question about it. Because when you compare, you're either not enough or you become arrogant.
Yeah.
Right. And the thing is, you can only compare equals. Think about it. You can only, you have to compare oranges to oranges. You can't compare oranges to baseball. Doesn't work. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and I have a saying that I tell people all the time, it leads to despair. Okay? And that's why. So, and the point is everybody's different. And a lot of people think, well, everybody's just like me. It's a very immature way of thinking. And when you grow, or like I said before, everybody's like me, or they will be when they grow up. But the point is, once you begin to realize, wait a second, everybody isn't like me. People are different. And then you realize you grow a little bit more and you realize, come to think of it, nobody's like me. And here's the most valuable part. It's okay to be me.
Yeah.
See, because every single person is uniquely and distinctly different. This is what allows every human being to contribute, no matter who they are or where they are or what they is. Because think about it. And I use this illustration, but it's powerful. We know everybody's different because guess what? Everybody has different fingerprints, don't they? So we can identify 7 billion people, 7 billion fingerprints. They're all different.
Yeah.
1986, they discovered DNA. Wow, we're really different. We're distinctly different. You know, you also have distinct eye prints. There's 7 billion different eye prints. That's how iridologists, that's how they make their living, right? Because the eye prints is, it's the, you know, the window to the mind, the window to the soul, you know, the eyes, right?
Yeah.
And so, and then guess, I learned this here a couple of years ago. Every heartbeat is different.
Wow.
So what does that tell us? How do I apply that for me? That means people see things different. People experience things different. People's passions different. People feel things different. So everything is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter what the deal is, and this is why you've got to have a variety of people, you know, around you so that you can get that different perspective. And my uniqueness, okay, allows me to contribute more significantly. Nobody's read the same things, seen the same things, heard the same things, and had all the same experiences. Nobody. And all of those things contribute to my uniqueness and contribute to my potential. Because nobody's going to see things the way I see things. Nobody's going to feel things the way I feel. Don't have the same passion or heart that I do. And so this is where we get great value. Ron used to say, each of us need all of us, and all of us need each of us.
Yeah.
And it's really true. And that's where, you know, Damon, where you talked about earlier before the show, you know, we can all learn something from somebody, you know, if we just learn to ask the right questions. And so there's great value there. And so that's that process that, you know, so the comparing thing is, it's destructive. It's destructive. You know who you need to compare yourself to. There's only one. Think about it. With everybody being so unique, and you have to compare apples to apples, you have to compare equals. There's only one equal to you. And that's all you see in the mirror.
Yeah, that's you. Right?
That's the only thing I can compare myself to every day. Mark, you know, the founder of Herbalife, he just told me, he said, all you got to do is get a little bit better today than you were yesterday. Yeah. Only compare myself to myself.
Yeah. Dennis, at this age, looking in the mirror, I'm not sure I can say that anymore. But that's only surface.
Dennis, yeah, I'm looking a little bit different now.
So here's, I think we should get into the book in just a little bit, because you have, you know, 45 principles in the book that are organized to help people through some of the trajectory of these ideas that you have.
Yeah.
But I have just a question first, because something like, you know, you really don't compare yourself to others, you know, compare yourself to you. That's the only equal that you have. And this idea that you want to live from purpose first, instead of thinking about what it is that you want to have, think about what it is that you can help people with.
Right.
How do you get people to commit to these ideas though? Because for example, there are plenty of successful people out there who don't have that mindset. Frankly, they're not assertive. That's not how they got there. And there are other people who have purpose who maybe didn't become as successful. So like, how do I, even though I know it's the right thing to do, how do people commit to these ideas in a way that actually changes their life?
Well, interestingly enough, and you probably heard this definition of success, is success is a decision.
Hmm.
Yeah. First of all, you just have to decide. And that's why you have to start with purpose.
Yeah.
So once I have that purpose, once I understand, you know, who I want to be, what I want to do, what I want to have, and who I want to help, once I understand that, then I say, okay, so who do I need to become in order to do that? So the most famous saying from Jim Rohn that I know is, for things to change, you've got to change. You know, for things to get better, you got to get better.
Yeah.
And so, and when I first heard that, you know, I wrote that, I took notes, you know. When I went to seminars, I took notes, but the difference with me is when I got home, I read them, you know, put them on the shelf. I actually read them. I say, hey, and I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, wait a minute, why is it for things to change, I got to change? And then I began to realize it. Wait a second. Things don't change. People do.
Yeah.
You know, do we have poverty today? Do we have wealth today? Do we have corruption today? Do we have all these things going on today? Sure. Did we have them 100 years ago? 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, things don't change. Yeah. But see, the key here is it's not what happens to us. It's not the circumstances around me, you know, that affect me. It's how I respond to the circumstances. See, that's the key. Circumstances happen to all of us. Some become bitter, some become better. We choose. See, and that's why I say it begins with that choice. So once I choose, okay, I'm going to get better. In order to make this happen, okay, so I'm going to have to start changing some things. And if I'm going to change, it begins with that decision, but then it begins with input. I've got to start down. And this is why our purpose determines the things that we see, the things we read, the things we hear, and the things we experience. See, I mean, listen, there's people, look at, I mean, the Learn It All podcast, what a brilliant title. And guess what we know about everyone in your audience? They're all eager to learn.
Yeah.
You see? And so that's brilliant. So it starts with that decision. Okay, I'm going to learn, but what do I need to know in order to do what I got to do? Mm-hmm. And the beautiful part about it, that there's lots of people out there willing to share their information. See, that's the beauty of it. I mean, I've called an author of a book I never knew. The guy never heard from me. And I said, listen, I'm reading your book. I said, I'm enthralled with this thing. I said, man, I said, I'd love to get together with you. He says, when you finish it, he says, give me a summary. We'll get together. I mean, think about that. I mean, most people would love to help you if they thought you were really serious and you really earned the right to be heard, earned the right to spend time with them. And that's a big part. You know, listen, you do this, you achieve this, and then we'll take this. And so that's where you're talking about, how do you get people in that process? One little step at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're in such an instant-oriented world. We want everything yesterday, you know? And so it's just a step at a time.
Dennis, another question that people ask me that I think falls right in line with this, and I agree, I want to talk about your book. But a lot of times people say, well, everybody says find mentors, get mentors. What's your advice as far as, one, what kind of mentors you should look for? And two, how do you go about finding a mentor?
Well, first of all, you want to find somebody and follow somebody who has the philosophy and the thinking and the lifestyle and the characteristics, the character, the integrity that you're looking for.
Right.
So you start there, because if they don't have that, whatever they have to tell you is going to be fragile anyway. So you want to start there. Right. And in other words, I tell people, you got to know, who do you want to be? Well, then you need to look for somebody who has those characteristics, you see? And so that's where you start. And then, and that's what I'm just saying. Most people don't realize it. You know, if you were really serious, you could just, you know, write them a letter, send them an email, or, you know, find a way to communicate to them, go to their seminar, talk to them afterwards, you know? I mean, that's how Jim and I got real close. I mean, golly, it was just amazing, you know, because he was more than willing to share. And the thing that I think people need to understand about mentors, it's not about information and programs. It's about people. It's about relationships. You see, in other words, I've always said, and this is, I found this true, is that there's far more caught than taught. And even the five mentors that I talk about in the book who made that huge influence on my life that allowed me to accumulate all these principles, you know, I heard the principles, but I saw them in action through their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get it. See, you hear it, you understand it, but you really learn it when you see it in action.
Yeah. That's, you know, a really great point.
You can't catch cold from somebody who doesn't have one.
Yeah.
If you want to catch somebody's character, make sure it's the real disease, you know?
What are some of the other things that we should know from your book? Yeah. I know you've organized these principles into some categories.
Mm-hmm. Well, your book, you got a copy?
Yeah.
Sorry for it.
Yeah. Oops, there we go.
Maximize you.
Yeah.
Standing on the shoulders of giants, and that actually leads right into what you're saying, is that you have to you have to be around it and you have to see it. Like you can hear the ideas, but when you actually live it in the presence of somebody, that's when it makes it, it really sinks in.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you have the dream of being, you know, the Michael Jordan of basketball, you know, then, you know, I wouldn't study architecture.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that makes sense, right? And that's my purpose is, you know, listen, architecture is great. I love architecture. I mean, it's beautiful. Look at all the things we see in the world. But if that's not your purpose, then it doesn't fit. It doesn't work. And so it all comes back again. And who has these characteristics so that I can get around? So it determines what I read, where I go, who I spend time with, and that type of thing. And if they're not your type of person, I've never given up friends. I've never given up being some of them, but I never give up on people. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, you start moving in the direction and guess what? You begin surrounding yourself then people that are like what you want. And so that's why I start with a purpose. And then we've got to become that person. So once you understand your purpose, then it's that personal development. Who do I need to become? Mm-hmm. Things change. I got to change. I've got to learn to respond to problems differently. You know, I've got to learn, you know, to dream and, you know, and go after those things. And once I've got that down, I say, okay, here's the things that I need to change. Then I've got to set my mind to it. Mm-hmm. You know, mindset's a popular word today, right? But what is mindset? I'm pretty simple. Mindset is what you have your mindset on. What are you thinking about? What are you reading? What are you doing? And that's vitally important because thoughts control our minds. Thoughts control our thinking, right? Thoughts control our mind. But we control our thoughts. See? So I get to choose what I'm going to think about. And once I choose what I think about, that's going to determine what I do. Our thoughts turn to actions. So I got to get people reading the right things, seeing the right things, experiencing the right things. And if they're around that, then they're going to start thinking about those things. And then then you can talk about, okay, now how do I apply those things? Once you begin applying those things, in other words, it gets into action. It's not truth known. But listen, I know a lot of educated idiots. They know a lot, but they don't do anything. So now I begin applying the things that I know. And once you begin applying the things you know, you apply them until you become consistent at it, until you create the habit of it. See? And the habits, you know, becomes just a part of who you are. See, hard habits, okay, they're hard to develop, but they're easy to live with. Easy habits, you know, man, they're easy to develop, but they're hard to live with. So pick your habits. See? And so you develop those habits. And once you develop those habits where it's just habitual, you don't think about it. It's a part of who you are. Then your habits create your attitude. See, then you begin thinking about things different. Your perspective is different because of your experience. See? And then that is what develops your character.
Yeah. Right?
And that's really what we need. See, we need character. A lot of people say, well, they're so charismatic. Yeah, they can be charismatic, but if they don't have character, you know, it's just a sideshow.
I like that.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's kind of disappointing that we don't really ever talk about character so much anymore. But Dennis, so you've been down this path, you know, for 44 years, according to you, and learned a ton of great lessons. You've codified it into these principles that you have in a book and everything. And at this point, so much of it must be second nature for you. What do you still have to remind yourself on a daily basis just to kind of stay in a, to keep being the person that you want to be?
Everything that's in my book, I have to remind myself. It's a battle zone. Yeah. The world is vying for your attention. They're vying for your mind. You know, listen, we hear about, you know, false information, misinformation. Man, the world is filled with it.
Yeah.
And so there's the battle for the mind. And so, listen, as I'm going through this process, you know, Damon, we were talking about, you know, writing the book as just a small part. Then all of a sudden the real work begins, you know, and I discovered how much more I have to learn. Seriously, I have to go back and read my own principles just to remind myself, because it's so easy to get distracted by things, you know. I have to remind myself, okay, you know, listen, Tony Robbins is Tony Robbins because he's been there doing all this stuff. You know, I can't compare myself to Tony Robbins or, you know, Zay, all these different people. You know, I compare myself to me. You know, I have to go through the whole thing of, okay, I've got to develop the disciplines, you know, that it's going to take. And so I have to stay focused on my purpose. You know, focus always precedes success. Think about it. No matter what you're involved with, whether it's a sport, a musician, a career, or whatever it is, you know, focus precedes success.
Dennis, yeah. I was thinking about this when I was going through your stuff. There's so much out there in the world with social media and everything. What is one tip that you have for somebody to help improve their focus?
Well, just improve what you download. You know, make sure, literally, if we want to focus on things, download everything that pertains to the thing I want to focus on. I always say that, you know, once you get that focus and you decide what you want, you know, what we do is we're wanting to do something that's going to improve my life. So I'm exchanging where I am for where I want to be. What is bad for what is good. And then once I start doing the good things, then I need to exchange what is good for what is better. And once I get involved with the better, then I exchange what is better for what is best. Here's the problem. The good is the enemy of the better. The better, it's the enemy of the best. And so that's why we have to keep moving, see? Because it's easy to be distracted by good things. I could be doing good things, valuable things, but if it doesn't help me to get what I want, it's out. It's going to be my enemy. It's going to prevent me from, or slow me down from reaching my goals.
Right? I see. Yeah. We have listeners who may be interested in speaking, you know, a career doing that. And I think you already offered a tip in a sense to people who want to be a public speaker, which is to remember it's not about you. That's some of the best advice you can have in terms of managing your nerves, realizing it's not about you. It's about you helping other people with the story you're telling or the problems you're trying to solve. Do you have any other tips for people who might want to, you know, follow in your footsteps and get up on a stage and, or have to, maybe have to give a big keynote coming up and that they want to do the best. What tips do you have for people who want to be doing some public speaking?
Well, you know, I think really it comes down to the idea of others, you know, in other words, when I understand my uniqueness, what I want, and I develop myself into my unique self, you know, and understand what's different about me, what my talents, skills, gifts, and abilities are. Those talents, skills, gifts, and abilities, again, they're not for me. Listen, if I'm the greatest musician in the world and I'm playing up on some mountaintop by myself, who benefits from that?
Yeah.
You see? So in other words, I'm a talented, skilled musician so that I can bring pleasure so I can contribute to others. So that's where, you know, that comes in. But, you know, so I think what and how can I contribute best to others? And why not? Listen, people want to wait to get on the stage. Why do that? Why not begin with your neighbor? Yeah. Why not begin with the guy down at the club or down or the person over at the gym? Why not just contribute every day? My goal for me is every day to make an impact with somebody for something. I mean, that's why would I want to wait? You know, see, and that's where I get my practice. See, when you're practicing with people aren't expecting it, then I get the right feedback. Says, well, maybe I better X that one, you know. that didn't work good. But really, right. You know what it is? It's our life message.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's one of the reasons why I ended up writing the book initially. My family watched me to go from zero to hero. They watched me going from being dead broke, you know, holes in my clothes and all this kind of stuff to the $1 million mansion, to having the boat and the cars and all the stuff, right? Most of which I've got rid of now because I, you know, better things and stuff. Yeah. But so they saw what I did, but they had no clue how I did it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I thought, you know, the book is a way to leave that legacy. It's a way to get that, you know, leave it for them so that they not only understand what I did, but they understood why I did it and how I did it.
Yeah.
That way the legacy continues. How long do you want to do what you do? How long do you want to do what you love to do?
Yeah.
You know? And what impact do you want to make? And how long do you want it to last? Do you only want it to last until you die? Or do you want it to last long after you die?
Yeah. So
that's the value of the speaking. That's the value of, you know, the book. See, there's two things you want to invest in, you know? And the main one is other people. And why is that? You want to invest in things that will outlast it, outlast life. And one thing that outlasts life is another life. So people, when I'm gone, they're still here.
Yeah.
See, so that's the best investment that we can make. That's why people skills are so, so valuable. It's the most valuable asset that we have.
Yeah.
And you know, listen, I mean, we all know that people are our biggest problems. For the most part, it's more people than things, right? Mm-hmm. Personalities. Yeah. But they're also our biggest solution.
Yeah. See,
I learned those talent skills and all that I've learned, my attitudes and these things and all these principles from other people. So they may be their biggest problem, but they're also our biggest tool, our biggest asset, our biggest contribution. And so people skills are vital.
We second that here at Learn It.
Yeah. I like that. There,
Dennis, we have one final signature question we like to ask people. You ready? Dennis has had no chance to prepare for this. Here we go. A lot of people know a lot from this podcast, listen to you, and probably a lot of other things about you. What's something that a lot of people don't know about you that might be a little bit surprising? I'll give you a couple of examples. We had somebody share a love of meteorology. We just had a guest talk about how much they like landscape painting. I mean, is there, you know, do you secretly speak Italian? Nobody knows. What's something, Dennis, about you that, you know, maybe a lot of people don't know?
Well, you probably find this interesting. Because most of the people who know me know me from the stage. They know me from doing trainings or doing, you know, virtual trainings or all these different things. And what people don't realize is I'm very much an introvert.
Yeah.
You know,
funny, right?
And in fact, my wife, she was one of my customers. And so, you know, when I met her, it was this one-on-one deal going on, right?
Yeah.
And so she got, you know, she got some results with our products. And then she says, you know, I think I want to work with this business. This sounds very exciting and fun. So I said, okay. And so I started working and training with her. And after a number of months, you know, we had this big training. I said, well, you know, I think you ought to come on down to this training. And she said, okay. You know, and I was speaking at it. And so she comes down to this training and she sees all these people and stuff like that. Of course, I mean, I know everybody there. And then, you know, they call me up to the stage, you know, so I get up to do my deal. And she's like, she's kind of looking around. She says, who is that guy? I mean, you know, and it's this funny thing. It's like when I get on a stage, it's like the light switch goes off. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because one of the most important things I want to do is make a difference for people. And I can say, listen, most of the things that I say, people have heard it before. There's very few things that I ever say that people haven't heard. And that's because most of the things I say is something I got from somebody else. I mean, when I'm speaking, I say, hey, isn't this great stuff?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
People think, well, that seems kind of counter-characteristic of who this guy's, you know, appeared to be, you know? Yeah. And then I said, so take a note, only steal from the, you know, only steal the good stuff.
Yeah. Right. Well, right.
But so, That's what excites me. So when I get up there, I said, here's my chance to say something, maybe even the same thing, a little different way so that it sinks in, how-to, so that they can actually walk out of that room that day a changed person. Here's a simple thing that is that way. I'd like to tell people, replace all shoulds with coulds. We were talking about how do you develop this process? And that's one of the key little principles that you can use. Instead of saying, you know, you should go to this event, you know, say, no, you could go to that event, you know,
mm-hmm.
you should do this. No, you know, you could do that. See, it's a whole, see, when you say should, they're saying, yeah, why should I?
Yeah, right.
When you say you could, they say, really? How?
That doesn't, work with my 2-year-old son, Wally, though, when I tell him about
the, yeah,
you know?
Hey, Wally, you could choose a different path.
I like that. I like that approach.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm a real introvert, you know, and in fact, when I get off the stage, man, a lot of people want to get out front and, you know, shake that, man, I'm going back to the green room.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so Dennis, really inspiring to have you on the show. I mean, just one inspiring nugget after another. And we want to let people know how to get in touch with you. Not immediately, because you got to go to the green room and be alone for a minute. But shortly after this, how could people get in touch with you or get your book?
Well, easy to get the book on Amazon or, what is it? Barnes and Noble, you know, sure. So the places you can just look up my name, look up the book. And the best way really to contact me is through my website, which is Maximize You. Not maximizing, but maximizeyou.com. And that's the goal. Anything I can do to help maximize people's lives, better.
You're available for speaking engagements and in particular, but also, you know, I suppose, yes, retreats and things like that.
Yeah, speaking, retreats, conferences, lunch and learn, staff meetings, you know, that type of thing. You know, I will take on some coaching or mentoring people, but that would be a hard process to get through because I'd have very strict requirements.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, this has been great, Dennis. You've been very inspiring, my friend. Wow. Very inspiring.
Thank you so much. What an honor. I mean, you know, they talk about what's your ideal audience. Your podcast attracts the ideal audience for what I love to share with, you know? And so what a brilliant title. What a brilliant process and philosophy that you have and putting all these things and making this available for so many people. And, I didn't know it was around, but now I do. So I'm going back through the history.
Well, awesome. Well, Dennis, you're going to have to watch some future ones because you're going to be seeing your book on my shelf. I have right here. Pretty soon.
Good to hear.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.